Hello and welcome to That's My First Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
So, entertainment. You know, we all watch King of the Hill, that's a given. But you watch anything else lately? One thing I've been thinking about, and I think it's been interesting over the past few years, is the Disney Plus Marvel shows. Because these are... So we had Marvel shows before that were made by Marvel Studios, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Defender series, and Cloak and Dagger, the Runaways, the Inhumans, a few others. But they did not, except for maybe Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. the first two seasons, they did not feel like they were at all connected to the MCU. These shows that are now on Disney Plus are canon to the MCU, and we see some of the same actors. And I actually read they get like the same budget as the big films. Now, granted, instead of it being a 2 hour long film or 2.5 hour longer film getting the budget, they're having to spread it across 6 episodes, which is what, 6 hours or something. So money probably doesn't last as long, but it's still high quality.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you watch. It's not the best, but Falcon and Winter Soldier, that first scene with the helicopters and seeing the Falcon like fly around, you're like, oh, this is money. There's money here.
Yep. And the fact that the characters show up in the movies. That was one of my biggest complaints about the old Disney stuff or the old Marvel stuff that was on Netflix and Hulu and ABC and whatever. Was that it was always one-sided. Like, take, for example, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. When the first season was out, around that time is when Captain America and the Winter Soldier came out. And the story in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was affected by that storyline, Hydra taking over and everything, Hydra secretly being in S.H.I.E.L.D. But, however, that never carried back to the movies. Like, at no point in the movies did they mention Agent Coulson or Quake, or, well, I guess she wasn't Quake at that point in time, or Fitzsimmons or anything like that. You know, I would say the only exception to that rule probably now is us seeing Black Bolt in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, albeit in an alternate universe, because it was the same actor that we saw in Inhumans. Maybe we could pretend that Inhumans took place in, what is it, the 838 universe or something. But, yeah, that, for the most part, we never really saw any of the characters from the TV shows show up in the movies.
This is true, yeah. None of the older shows. Though I did lose my mind, if you watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I don't know if you remember this, but it was in season one during the Winter Soldier stuff. There's a scene where Fitz makes a laser pointer thing, but he's like, this can cut through concrete, this can cut through anything. And it's the episode right before Winter Soldier. And then Winter Soldier airs, and then Nick Fury cuts himself out of his car into the sewer system. And then I was like, oh, that's Fitz's thing. And I really wish they would have been like, it would have shown him and be like, thanks, Fitz, or something like that. Because that's clearly Fitz designed that, because he said it in the episode previously. So I was excited, but a little upset, because I really liked the first couple seasons of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I did, too. And also the second season casually mentioned stuff. Like, so the second season, like a good portion of the season, or towards the latter part of the season, they're like, Coulson has some secret mission that he's just not telling anybody about. And then it's revealed that he is actually was helping Nick Fury get the helicarrier together that we see at the end of Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
However, like, Nick Fury never acknowledges that's where he got it. He just says, oh, I got it out of mothballs or whatever. But yeah, it never... It's never actually mentioned in the film where he got it.
And that's the whole thing of, like, the TV show wants to be a part of it so bad, and the movies are like, we're okay. We don't need you.
Yeah, the movies are like, we don't need it. It's we're doing just fine without you. Or in like Inhumans, that's a good example too, because that was originally supposed to be a film. Like that was that even had a release date and everything, and then they decided to make it a show. I have my own fan theories about that. Like I think we've talked about it before. My theory is that if you kind of look at the timelines, when Marvel first announced it, they weren't in any of the talks to buy X-Men or buy rather Fox Studios. Disney wasn't in the talks yet, or if they were, it was like super, super, super early. And with that acquisition would come, you know, the Fox stuff. So like Fantastic Four and X-Men and whatnot. So I feel like Inhumans have always been kind of discount X-Men. And so Marvel is like, oh, well, we want to do X-Men, but we can't do X-Men because Fox has the rights to it. Let's do Inhumans. And so they did that. And then once they realized, oh, wait, Fox is going to be purchased soon. Oh, screw that. Let's go ahead and do X-Men then. But then they're like, but we already started casting people and filming. Let's turn it into a TV show. And then, of course, the TV show had, like, no budget because, what is it, Medusa, whose her whole power is that she has, like, prehensile hair that she can control. And in the first episode, she shaved bald. So now it's like, oh, yay, now we don't have to animate her hair anymore.
I really think, oh man, I can't remember his name. And I used to know it all the time. I want to say Tim something. He was the Marvel TV producer.
I know who you're talking about. I just can't remember.
But I always heard the rumor that Kevin Feige hated him. And whatever he did, Kevin Feige would be like, that can't be a part of the movies. So that's what I heard. And then, so when he decided to throw Inhumans into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Kevin Feige was like, no more Inhumans movie. Because it needed, you know, I always say it needed the budget, but I feel like people, I forget this sometimes, and I think people forget. The first two episodes of Inhumans was filmed in IMAX. And premiered in IMAX theaters.
That's true. I keep forgetting that. Like, the first two episodes, they aired on TV, but at the same time, like, that first Friday that it aired, you were able to go and watch it in the theaters.
Which is a shame, because the effects don't match the, like, grandness of being in IMAX. I mean, the vistas were beautiful. They filmed in Hawaii, so it looked nice. But I guess the money did not go to special effects.
No, well, also that first episode was the only episode that Medusa got to use her hair, so maybe they just blew all the budget in that first episode and then just kind of left it, because that show just dragged on. And I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen the series, but I think the special effects pretty much didn't happen after that first episode.
Man, it's such a shame, because Medusa is a really great character in the comics, and the storyline where she gets her head shaved is such a major point in the comics of, like, someone whose power is their hair, and that is everything to them, and now they lose it, and now they have to rediscover themselves. Mm-hmm. And she becomes stronger for it, but in this, it's just like, you know, you clearly am like, no one wants to pay that special effects budget anymore.
Yeah. Fun fact, though, at one point, apparently in an interview, it was either Kevin Feige or the Russo brothers, they said that they were seriously considering adding the Defenders to Avengers Endgame, like during the portal scene, but they nixed the idea because they realized, like, not everybody who is up on the MCU watched the Netflix Marvel shows, and it would probably just confuse them.
I mean, I don't think there's anyone. Well, I mean, there are people, but I feel like a majority of us Marvel fans watch Daredevil and Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and, you know, skimmed Iron Fist.
Yeah. That would have been fun, just seeing Iron Fist get owned by Thanos. Like, I want everybody to win, but I would have been fine with him like trying to use his Iron Fist to beat Thanos, and then Thanos just smacks him.
So I am kind of glad though that Marvel Universe isn't a part of ours, because this means that we can get Sigourney Weaver back into the MCU and give her like a really good role, other than the garbage they gave her in the Defenders show.
The Defenders was a huge letdown. Like, they built that up a lot, and it was like, oh, cool, we're going to have a team up between Daredevil and Luke Cage and Iron Fist and Jessica Jones. And then all of a sudden, like, yeah, disappointed. And yes, that was a huge waste of Sigourney Weaver. Like, she is such a great actress, and they wasted her in that show.
And it feels like Sigourney Weaver would be down to, like, do some stuff. Because she's done stuff in other movies. It just seemed like here they were like, let's not bother her.
Oh, they were just like, nope, we just want her for the star power and the recognition. We don't actually want her to do anything.
Also, I just Googled the Inhumans show kind of promo picture. You know, where they're all standing on a line that says Inhumans?
Yep.
I was like, I didn't know Amy Adams was in Inhumans. It looks like her. Medusa looks like her in their little promo thing.
Nice. I'm going to have to look at that later. I don't remember that, but...
Should Amy Adams be Medusa in Marvel movies?
I don't know. I mean...
Who is Amy Adams then in the Marvel, in the MCU?
Yeah, because I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, oh, there's no way they're going to try to bring back Inhumans. Though, now that I think about it, Anson Mount was in Doctor Strange. And granted, he died unceremoniously. Well, he died pretty awesomely. But at the same time, it's also like, oh, he's not there anymore. So who knows if we're going to see Inhumans ever again in the MCU. Also, just the fact that it looks like they're setting up Kamala Khan to be a mutant, whereas in the comics she's an Inhuman, just kind of tells me that Marvel, or at least MCU, is done with the Inhumans. But we'll see. But Amy, back to the question, Amy Adams. I don't know. No, she'd be too old to be a Gwen Stacy. I was going to say, we don't have a Gwen Stacy in the MCU yet, but...
Amy Adams. That's a tough one. Is she a main character, or is she, like, friend of a hero?
Yeah, I'm going to go with either friend of a hero or a villain.
Oh, she might be a good villain.
Like Madame Hydra or something? Though I guess we're done with Hydra. She could be, like, in Secret Invasion. She could be, like, the Skrull Queen or something.
I don't know if we give her that much. That's a big one. I thought, what's her name was going to be it? Daenerys.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Emilia Clarke is joining the MCU. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. My theory is at some point, every actor is going to either be in a DC film or a Marvel film. Just at some point, that's going to be what's going to happen.
I mean, I think we'll eventually be in one.
Oh yeah, at some point they're going to just run out of people and have to like just start casting random people. But they still need to figure out how to get Hank Hill into the MCU, which they did. There is already a backstory there. He appeared in a commercial with the Silver Surfer, so they just need to make it work. Now Disney owns Fox, so they can make it happen.
This Hank is would make true. An Iron you have Man. Showed me the commercial.
Yep. There used to be a promo commercial way back in the day it had to be the 90s. Silver Surfer was a short-lived cartoon. I think they only ever aired like 12 episodes of it, but it was a cartoon, and there's a crossover promotion, like a commercial where like Hank is there and the Silver Surfer shows up, and then Hank tries to convince the Silver Sur- for to like convert to using propane to power his board. And then like the commercial ends with the Silver Surfer and there's like a propane tank attached to his board. So hey, it might be time to introduce him in the Fantastic Four. He can be like the person installing propane into the Baxter building or something.
Possibly.
Get Drew Carey to play him. Who, ironically or interestingly enough, is in this episode. This episode is Not in My Backhoe, Season 4, Episode 8. So we're back to the old episodes. This one is a nice one because we get to see... I guess we get to see a little bit more of the Hank's dynamic or his relationship with his friends, particularly Bill, Boomhauer, and Dale. But I think we go more heavily into Bill and Dale. But then we also kind of get to see what it would be like if Hank actually met a person who was exactly like him. So the episode starts off with like one car coming in one direction that has a backhoe on it, and then another car coming in the other direction and has a septic tank behind it, and they meet up at Bill's house. Hank is thrilled at the getting the backhoe because it's just a beaut, and they got the biggest septic tank they could find. Bill said it's they sold it one to a bowling alley in Austin. My headcanon is they sold it to either Highland Lanes or Dartpool. That's my headcanon. You know, they wanted to sell him a home unit, but Dale's like, they don't understand, Bill. So we're in Bill's yard. Hank digs a hole. He hasn't hit anything. And then Bill's just like, oh, no, it's over there. And then we see like three or four holes dug. And it's clear that Bill's just guessing. And Hank's frustrated. He's like, we just killed your lawn, a perfectly innocent lawn. And then Bill's like, okay, smart guy, where's your septic tank? And then Hank's like, says exactly where it is. He's like 8 feet out, 6-7 inches in from the side of the house. And side of the house, that's exactly where mine is. And then Bill puts down the mark, and Hank's like, you can't just blindly mark things. And Bill's like, the mark is in the ground. All of a sudden, Dale rounds the corner with the backhoe, but he clearly doesn't know how to drive it, and he winds up crashing into Bill's house and taking out some of the bricks. And Dale's like, Hank, you were right. It was dangerous to ride, but you were wrong in making me want to do it so badly. Hank's just frustrated and over it, and he's just like, I'm going to go and buy an L-Pat. And Bill's like, can I come? I'll stay in the truck. And Hank's like, no. And Bill's like, he was right. I probably wouldn't have stayed in the truck. We go to Megalomart, which is the in-universe version of Walmart. And it's always fun showing Hank go to Megalomart because he always gets like the stereotypical dumb teenager who doesn't know like anything, and he just gets mad all the time, which is always fun. So he's asking the guy for an L pipe, and he's like, this is an L pipe, but it's just a straight pipe. And he's like, no, that's a straight line. He's like, L's are straight. Ugh, maybe lowercase then. Okay, fine. Can I find a capital L pipe? All pipes are straight. It's like, no, not all pipes are straight. Because if all pipes were straight, you wouldn't be selling those U-pipe behind you. And he's like, these aren't pipes. And so Hank's just starting to yell at him. And then behind him, there's another guy yelling like, how can there not be multiple types of Bildritz? There are multiple size holes. Did you ever think about that? And so Hank realizes, oh, this guy's like mad too or whatever. Hank gets his L-pipe, he heads out to the parking lot, and he tries to get into his truck, and he realizes he can't get in, his key's not working. And then he notices right next to him, the guy from inside was trying to get into his truck, and he has literally the exact same truck, color, make, model, all that stuff. So they realize, oh, he just got screwed up, no biggie. So they walk back to their respective trucks, and they're like, oh, you know, did you get the recall notice in 94? Yep, okay. Oh, the L-pipe, are you, you're putting together a septic tank? He's like, yep. Yeah, we got a backhoe. Oh, Mason has a new model. That's the one I got. Oh, well, I won't keep you. So Hank drives off. Now we go to the Hill Kitchen, and it's funny because Luann is telling Peggy about her professor and how her professor says she's like shown the most promise of any student she's ever seen, and or any student he's ever seen. And he invited her to dinner and drinks to talk about it. And like Peggy's like, dinner and drinks, Luann. And you think she's like going to like talk sense to him. Like, oh, he's just trying to hit on you or something. But she's like, oh, I'm so proud of you. So she's equally as dumbfounded about this as Luann is. That doesn't get it. Hank comes in and he's smiling. Peggy notices and he's like, oh, I met a guy. He has the same truck, same year, same color as mine. He knew what an L-pipe was for. And Peggy was like, oh, are you going to see him again? He's like, no, it's just one-time thing with a guy in a parking lot. Hank goes to fill up his truck the next day at the gas station. And sure enough, dude shows up. And dude makes a joke about, like, oh, are you using super? And then Hank's like, regular. And then he's like, oh, I'm just kidding and stuff. So Hank finishes. And he just kind of stands around awkwardly waiting for the other guy to finish filling up his truck. And then as they're getting ready to leave, Hank's like, hey, are you busy right now? Like, do you want to get a beer? And he's like, imported. And Hank's like, oh, no, domestic. But then he realizes he's joking. They go to the bar and it's fun because they're just kind of sitting there. Like, we don't actually ever see them talk. Hank gets up because he realizes, like, some time's passed, so he calls Peggy to let him know that he's out. And he's, like, so excited. He's like, oh, this guy is great. And then Peggy, we don't know what questions Peggy is asking, but he's like, oh, no, we haven't talked about that. No, he didn't mention that. No, he didn't mention that. We'll be home later. It's just funny because this guy, so the guy is actually played by Drew Carey. Like, that's the person who's voicing him. The guy does look a little bit like Drew Carey, but then also looks very much like Hank, which is kind of interesting. And they're like, they are like that, like Hal, this guy Hal can be Hank's variant is what it seems like. Like that's how so similar they are.
Yeah. Just think, I guess, I don't know how to explain it. He's not even a thicker, I guess it's just like a paler. Well, no, he's tan. I don't know. Maybe more squared Hank. More rectangle shapes.
Yeah, he's a little shorter than Hank, and he has more like square face, but he still kind of looks like Hank. He looks like if Hank and Drew Carey had a baby, because you could definitely see like the Drew Carey influence in there. But then Hank also kind of looks a lot like Drew Carey. So it looks like a cartoon Drew Carey. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny because he does seem exactly like Hank, because you see like Bill and Dale, we don't really see Boomhauer that much in this episode, but you see that Bill and Dale are just, like, completely incompetent when it comes to doing this kind of major housework. Like, they don't know how to mark the where the septic tank is. Dale clearly doesn't know how to operate the backhoe, and Hank just doesn't want to have anything to do with them. And then all of a sudden, he meets this guy who is, like, exactly like him. Like, he knows immediately what the L-pipe is for. And they drive the exact same truck. They just they clearly think alike. Yeah, so it's just funny because Hal is essentially just another Hank. And they have so much in common. And Hank's elated by it. Also, like, I don't know if I'd call it the B plot line or whatever, but I do like how dumb Peggy and Luann were about the professor asking Luann out for dinner and drinks.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, Peggy's fallen for a lot of silly things before.
That's true.
When Peggy's smart, she's smart. But when she's not smart, she's not smart, I guess. You know, when she's got it, she's got it. But when she doesn't, she falls for anything.
I've often argued that I actually think Hank is smarter than Peggy. He just doesn't know it. Because, like, if we look at all the episodes, Hank has been, like, a better problem solver than Peggy has in a lot of situations.
Was that one thing that Hank told her? Like, I'm street smart, and book smart, but if we found a book or something like that?
No, it was like, you're book smart, so if we wanted to write a book about how you lost all of our money, hands down, you'd be the one to do it. But I have street smarts.
Yes. I always think about that. Because then it's like, he's like, Peggy, you don't have any smarts.
Yeah, but that's always been like one of my arguments. Is I think Hank really is smarter than Peggy. He just doesn't know it. Bill and Dale are back at the alley and they're trying to open a beer can with the backhoe. Hank shows up and he gets upset and they actually miss the beer can and like dig a little hole into the alley. And I guess, you know, it's one thing if they're digging a hole in Bill's yard, but now they're digging it in the alley where everybody is. So Hank jumps in and they go ahead and fill up the hole. And then Hank asked if the guys were all right if someone came to over to drink beer. And he's like, oh, do you mean like, you know, just somebody randomly wandered over? And Hank's like, no, I invited a guy over. And then, you know, Dale's like, whatever, you know, it's a big alley. And then Hal shows up and Hank seems really excited to see Hal. Hal mentions like, oh, yeah, Hank told me about your problem. You could probably use a metal detector to track the pipes back to the septic tank. And then Dale laughs and he's like, ah, that would never work because our soil was filled with extraterrestrial alloy that serves as a homing beacon to the Martian capital or whatever. And of course, Hal is like weirded out by it. But then Hank like saves face by saying, oh, yes, Dale, that's a good joke. Dale, really, you can tell a joke, right? Then all of a sudden, Hal's like, hey, I saw Tracco on the way here. You want to go check it out? And Dale's like, no. And then Hank's like, oh, I'll come. And he jumps in the truck and drives around. And the guys are a little upset. Bill and Dale are just eagerly awaiting for Hank to show up. And Boomhauer leaves because he's just like, look, I'm not going to sit here forever and wait for Hank. Hank comes home late, like it's dark. And Bill and Dale are there hanging out waiting. Hank actually like turns on his flashlight because he hears beer cans. And Bill and Dale are there, and they're just super drunk at this point. They've been drinking a bunch of beer waiting for Hank to show up, and they are so mad that he is late. And, you know, where were you? Peggy might have been worried. I called Peggy. It's like, you know, they're like, we were with Hal. And he's like, yeah, I was. And he just walks off, and they think they're being replaced. It's ultimately what it boils down to. Back at the whole house, Peggy and Bobby are playing like that hand slap game where you're supposed to like not flinch, but then move your hands when the person slaps or gets ready to slap. I don't even know if that game has a proper name. I'm just going to call it the hand slap game. Hank tells Peggy that he heard about a hardware store that Hal took him to that only sells fireplace hardware. And, you know, Peggy's like, oh, fireplace hardware. Well, Boomhauer should have been in hog heaven then. And Hank's like, oh, I didn't invite Boomhauer. And, you know, Peggy kind of looks at him a little weird. And it's like, well, you know, part of the nice thing about having Hal is like it's to try new things with somebody and everything. It's fine. Hank's fine with it. And Peggy is just going along with it. Hank goes to Hal's house to pick him up. And, you know, he's like, oh, I can't wait to check out this bait and tackle shock you're telling me about. And, you know, Hal's like, ah, they don't know that. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what a floater is, all that stuff. But I know this sports shop that spins around. It used to be a restaurant. So they head over there. It's in McManorbury. And we see Dale and Bill trailing them. But Dale, I guess, is trying to be incognito. So he has like a tarp wrapped around the giant dead bug that he has on the top of his Dale's dead bug extermination truck. But then the thing comes off. And it's also like, I think Hank would recognize the truck even if you covered up the bug, no matter how well you did. They're trailing him and they're trying to record him, and they're taking like the notes on the tape recorder. It's like, you know, 10 a.m. Hank picks up Hal, and then Bill's like, what? But the recorder picks that up, so then Dale rewinds it and then it plays it, but then it also plays the what, and then so Dale yells it because he's like, I guess he thought Bill actually said what again. So when they're at the store, you know, Hank's telling Hal about this propane story, and Hal's like, what, they had it in the 12 o'clock position instead of the 6 o'clock? And Hank's like, yeah, are you sure you never sold propane? He's like, nah, just a hobby. Now they're at a guitar store, and the two are playing the Joker, and they sing along, but then, of course, you know, Dale has, like, his spy equipment, and he's listening in, so now Bill and Dale are singing along to the song, and Hank and Hal leave, and Bill and Dale aren't even paying attention anymore. They're just kind of doing their own like karaoke with the recording equipment. Back in the alley, Hank and Hal have finished putting the septic tank in, and the guys show up, and Bill and Dale are naturally upset. They're mad that Hank and Hal did the project without him, but you know, Hank's like, oh, wait, Hal handled the backhoe. We're going to save a few days on rental. And essentially, the guys give him an ultimatum. It's like, look, it's either us or Hal. And Hank's like, you can't make me choose. And then they double down, us or Hal. And then he's like, fine, I'll take him. It's like, you know, him is Hal, you're right. And then Hank just walks off. The guys are a little upset. They're like, oh, you know, if we know how to use the backhoe, Hank will respect us and want to hang out with us more. Oh, Bill is like, oh, I know an old abandoned army minefield. We can go there. And then Dale's like, yeah, but we'll never get past security. I know of an abandoned pet cemetery. So they go over there to practice. And it looks like they're getting a little better. And then they've dug a big hole. And Dale gets in and he's like, I bet you that I can pick that dandelion over there, bring it over here, blow it, and make a wish. And he tries to, and I guess he loses grounding, and the backhoe falls into the hole and buries them a little bit. They try to use the bucket to maybe grab onto the tree branch and pull themselves up, but now they just pull the tree branch onto them, and so now they're just stuck in this hole. I don't know, but I see where Hank's coming from, because like that guy is just like him. But at the same time, like, wouldn't it be boring hanging out with yourself all the time?
All the time, yes. But I feel like sometimes you just want, like, someone to agree with you. And then you can just, like, go on and do your own same thing. But it is, I don't know. It's sad that the two groups couldn't merge together. You could tell that, like, Hal does not like Bill and Dale.
I also don't think Hank likes him that much. Like, I think he does, but I think in an alternate universe where they were never his friends in high school, Hank would probably never hang out with them. That's my theory, anyway.
I don't know. Well, maybe. Maybe they're forced to, but I feel like the four balance each other out really well.
Uh-huh.
And like in the beginning of this episode, you could see that they all love the same things, kind of where I forgot who and who, but Hank is driving, was it the backhoe? Paul?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? Backhaul?
Yeah, the backhoe.
And then two others are driving the septic tank in, and then they meet in the middle and they're laughing about it. Like, you could tell that, like, all of them really enjoy the same things. It's just everyone has their own different side hobbies.
Yeah. And,
yeah, so.
I think Hank sometimes gets tired of Dale's ridiculousness and his antics. And then Bill is really, I don't want to say dumb, but he's easily manipulated. Like, so he can be pulled along by pretty much anybody who gives him attention. Like, it's clear that Dale, for whatever reason, has some kind of influence over Bill and will do whatever he says. So I think Hank gets tired of them. Boomhauer, for the most part, seems pretty, you know, level-headed, as we see in most episodes, but he's also just not a man with words, so that's probably why Hank doesn't really spend time with him. Like, Boomhauer really doesn't have much of a place in this episode, to be honest.
No, but, you know, which is, well, because I do think it's because Boomhauer is so just zen and kind of understands the situations going on, that if we had Boomhauer in here, he would kind of like calm everything down, and then we wouldn't have an episode.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Boomhauer, I think in most every episode we've seen, tends to be the level-headed of the entire group. Now the guys obviously have gotten themselves into a little bit of a predicament, so let's see what happens. After the break, we see them in the hall, and Dale's like, oh, Bill, you're lucky because you're in the army, so you have a tracking device implanted into you. And Bill's like, if they find me, I'll tell them where you are, which, it's kind of weird because they're in the same spot. So if they find him, they're going to find Dale. But okay. And then Dale's just like, thank you. Hank asks Hal to get a beer. He's like, oh, but you're 20 minutes away and the food will be ready in an hour. Okay, next time. And then Hank asks Bobby if he wants to do a shoe shine party. And Bobby's like, I'll get my kit. And then Peggy's like, now you know you don't want to sit here and watch Bobby shine shoes. Hey, why don't you go out and have a beer with the guys? And Hank's like, all right. Boomhauer is the only one who shows up, obviously. And, you know, Hank and Boomhauer just have a conversation, but Boomhauer gets uncomfortable because Hank's talking too much. Like, Hank asks him a bunch of questions, like, how's life going? Any good dates? Boomhauer's like, oh, you're just like my My mother always asks me, why are you gonna make me grandchildren? Make grandchildren, and he just walks away. We see at the pet cemetery, Dale is just like, as an exterminator, I have many enemies here. Which it was a quick scene, but it was enjoyable. We see Hank and Hal, they're meeting at like either a rest stop or something like that, and just to show their character traits, you know, they're like, okay, it took me 17 minutes to get here. It took me 18. Huh. Maybe we should meet at that Exxon over there and they'll even things out. And then he's like, oh, you know, I only got a 45-minute lunch break, so I can't do that. Hey, why don't we meet after work? And then Hank's like, yeah, but you're on the other side of town. And by the time I get home from Strickland and wind down, I just want to stay home. Well, let's meet on Saturday. Oh, okay. Well, that sounds great. Oh, no, it's Bobby's football game, and he really wants me to watch it with him. And so that's kind of when they realize, huh, I guess this is it. And then so they kind of just stop being friends at that point, and they drive in different directions. And, you know, it's a, I don't know, it's a sad goodbye. At the pet cemetery, the guys are upset that Hank has forsaken them. At least a day has passed, maybe two. But they're like, we're two beta males at the top of our game. And then Bill's like, I'm lovable. We're both lovable. So like that kind of re-energizes them. We go back to Hank's house, and he's having a quote-unquote shoeshine party with Bobby, where Bobby just pretends to be a shoeshine, but actually shines Hank's shoes. The backhoe company shows up, and they keep asking Hank for his backhoe. And he's like, oh, it wasn't returned by Dale Gribble and Bill Dotrieve? And he's like, no, I want my backhoe. Hank goes looking for it. First, he goes ask Con, and Con's like, no, I saw them drive off that way the other day. What, you mean they're gone? Men, two down, two to go. So Hank starts driving around and asking guys. He sees a bunch of guys sitting by a fence and shows them a picture of Dale and Bill, and they don't recognize them. And then he shows them a picture of the backhoe, and they all point in the direction that they went. Then Hank kind of looks around for clues. He sees like a broken fence and tire treads and the lawn and everything. So he just kind of follows that until he finds his way at the pet cemetery where he sees them. He finds them and he asks them how they're going to get out, but he doesn't really talk down to them, so to speak. He makes it sound like it's their idea. It's like, well, clearly you guys have this all under control. I'm just curious how you're going to get out of here. And they're like, okay, we'll play your game. And then he kind of talks them through. It's like, well, what I would probably do is, you know, yada, yada, yada. And they follow along. They're able to get out. And, you know, where's Hal? And Hank's like, oh, Hal's gone. And he's like, you know, Hal's a lot of things, but there's one thing that you guys are that he's not, my neighbors. And so they kind of accept the apology and whatever. And episode ends. Yeah, so I don't know. I like the episode because we get some Bill and Dale and kind of get to see how jealous they get and how they try to behave. And also, of course, we get a lot of great Dale quips and great Bill quips. But I just really like how we get to see Hank finally find himself. And I like how they stop being friends over, like, the dumbest thing, like, just because it's inconvenient to meet each other. Like, I can't imagine Ireland is that large of a town. Like, a 20-minute drive away isn't that big of a deal, I'd imagine, but who knows?
I think their friendship just ran its course, you know. They did everything that they could do. And also, like you were saying, there was, like, no spice in it. There was nothing ever new to either one of them.
Yeah, I think that could be a good reason why Hank just kind of let it go. But it also kind of makes it sound like Hank's friendship with the guys is a friendship of convenience because he makes like, oh, you guys are my neighbors. So it's like super easy for him to just step outside and say hi to them or whatever versus like, you know, Hal, which is a guy he really connects with, is on the other side of town. So it's inconvenient.
I do think at the end, though, he's like, you guys bring adventure to my life.
Yeah.
When he says, you're my neighbor, he's kind of like, you guys bring unexpectedness into me, into my life. And I think that's sweet. But what I want to know is, how many times does Hank do shoeshine parties with Bobby and listen to Bobby do this shoeshine character?
That is a good question, because clearly that's not the first time. Like, I mean, maybe the second time, who knows? But the way Hank was like, hey, you want to do a shoeshine party? Clearly Bobby's asked him before.
Well, he says, I thought he said, like, we haven't done one in a while.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He does say that. So, yeah, it's like something he regularly does. That you know, I never thought about that until you brought it up just now. I wonder how many times they've done a shoeshine party.
And I feel like it's always Bobby bringing it up, because then Peggy is like, you don't want to have Bobby shine your shoe, or like sit there and watch Bobby shine your shoes.
That's true, because if she did, she wouldn't have said that. Like, she would have been like, oh yeah, this is just like a normal thing Hank does and loves doing with Bobby or whatever. But that's not the indication we get.
Watching this episode again just really makes me feel like, does Bobby I know this is like totally the smallest part of the episode, Bobby being a shoeshine boy, but I wonder if Bobby has all these other characters he does that Hank and Peggy just like play along with, because sometimes they're productive. Like, this one's a shoeshiner, so he's like, every now and then I need my shoeshine, so we let Bobby do this character. I wonder if Bobby has other characters he does and props in his closet. Then they're like, okay, it's this time.
I fully believe he does, because like a big thing about him is that he is a huge, what's the word I'm looking for? He's like a huge, like improv, prop comedy guy. So I guarantee you he's like got a bunch of different characters that he has, and Shoeshine Boy is just one of them.
I just love that this is a character that Hank indulges in. From time
that's
to
true.
Time.
That's true, because he almost certainly has other characters, but this one, Hank's like, oh, I'm all right with it. I'm all right with seeing Shoeshine Boy. Yeah. Maybe it's because Hank actually gets something out of it. Like, he's like, okay, Bobby's going to be weird for a bit, but hey, at least I get my shoe shined.
I love it, too. And he's like, how's the stock market going? It's like, what is it? I don't know. Now, I don't really know, like, the 50s or 1930s. Like, old-timey's like, how's the stocks doing, sir? I really wish Hank would have, like, thrown, like, a quarter his way or something like that at the end.
Yeah, that would have been funny if he did that. Or, excuse me, if he at least played along, that would have been funny. If he was like, oh, the market's doing all right for me. Or something like that. If he, like, took on, like, a 1920s, 1930s, like, voice or whatever, I don't know.
He must, right? If they do this often.
Yeah.
So he must be, man, this is a whole, like, thing I want to see.
This is its own episode. We do need to see it.
But I do love all the other stuff. I like Dale and Bill getting jealous of Hal. I love Hal and Hank being so similar. So similar that they know they can't be together.
Uh-huh. Though I do wonder, like, what if Hal just lived like three streets over or something? Now, granted, I also wonder like how Hank would have never met Hal if he lived three streets over. But
oh yeah,
like what if Hal like, or he lived in like the next neighborhood or something? Like, yeah, I wonder if they would have wound up getting to know each other or staying friends.
I don't know, but oh man, oh, another one of my favorite parts before we like end it. Is when Hank is looking for Bill and Dale, and he kind of passes these college kids, and he shows them a picture of Bill and Dale, and they're like, we haven't seen him. And then he shows them a picture of the back hole, and they're like, it went that way.
Yep. Hey, Hank talked to the right people. They're all like, oh yeah, we're construction guys or whatever. We know a Mason backhoe when we see it.
But
yeah, when he shows them Bill and Dale.
Yeah, when he shows them the two people, they're like, those, I do not know who those people are. Those, I feel like Bill and Dale are very recognizable people.
Yeah. Also, it's a small town. Like, I don't think we ever actually get, maybe we do, I don't think we ever actually get a head count of how many people live in Ireland. But it's not a zero number. It's probably, I don't know, 30,000 or something. There's a chance everybody kind of, maybe not everybody knows everybody, but everybody at least has an idea of who people are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they rarely are running into new people.
That's true.
And because I remember one episode when there are a new family moves in, because Peggy becomes like the town greeter or whatever, the city greeter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. She was like the welcome wagon person or something. I forget what the term yeah. was, but like anytime a new family moves in, she brings them a basket or whatever.
Yeah, that was like when Hank does the Cub Scout thing.
Yes, I remember that one.
But yeah, I'm really... But this is a great reason like why we never see Hal again. Hank and Hal just were like, we're done. And they kind of move away from each other. And that's why we never see Hal. Though it would be fun. Like, I don't know if you watch Seinfeld or not, but it would be fun to have another episode of King of the Hill, like the last episode of Seinfeld, where they just brought back all the one-off characters.
That would be great. Didn't they do that? I think I felt like in like the original last episode. So there was an original last episode. I think the last episode of season 11, maybe, because the crew thought that was actually going to be the last episode of King of the Hill. But then all of a sudden Fox decided to renew it. And so they got two more seasons. But in that episode, you actually do see, I don't know if you see Hal, but you see in the wedding party, like a bunch of people from prior episodes.
Oh, nice. Wait, is this Luann and Lucky's wedding?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I might have to go back and see that scene.
Yeah, so that was originally supposed to be the final episode, but then Fox gave them two more seasons. So that's why it kind of feels like a final episode, because you're like, oh, hey, why is Junichiro and all these other people in the background there? And then all of a sudden, like, now there's two more seasons.
Oh, man. Too bad they didn't, like, I feel like they were like, we did it already, we don't want to do it again. But that would have been a really great ending for, was it Two Sirloin with Love or whatever that episode's called?
Yep.
That would have been a great ending, because there's a big dinner at the end of that.
True.
But I kind of like it just intimate with just the street. But, I mean, we'll talk about that later, because that is on that list.
You do have it on the list. Yep. Do you have anything else?
No. I mean, this is a great episode. I do go back and forth on, like, older episodes versus newer episodes, which ones I like. But this is definitely worth the rewatch. You're gonna love it. And then, like, someone please write, like, a spec script or, like, a fan fiction of Shoeshine Bobby.
I hope Bobby becomes like owns a shoe shop in the reboot or whatever. Oh, cool. The next episode we're going to cover, and like, so for real, this is easily in my top five episodes of all time. We're going to be doing Ho Yeah. So, you know, this is easily top five episode for me. So this will be a great one. Until then, I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.